Amen. Welcome to Celebration Community Church, a fun place, we feel, to get serious about God. We're going to try something here. I am aware that we are very, very blessed to have people for whom English is not their first language. So we're going to try something here. It could fail miserably, right? But this is a gracious space. In a minute, I'm going to say, "He is risen." And if you feel so led, I would like for you to respond, shout, really, "He is risen indeed." But I want you to say, "He is risen indeed," in your native tongue. If it's English, then say it in English. If it's Spanish, say it in Spanish. Okay, do we understand? I'll say, "He is risen." You'll say, "He is risen indeed," in your native tongue. Ready? One, two, do what? That's fair. That's fair. Nice, Lisa. I don't speak Spanish. Yes. Anybody in Spanish who knows Spanish can translate that real quickly? Stand up and say it. Jazz? Jasmine's, but can we give it up for Jasmine? Woo! You know, she used to be on staff, and you think that, you know, she can hide in the back, but no.
Can never leave.
Do you want to just tell them to say, "He has risen indeed," in Spanish?
Él ha resucitado.
Yeah. So I'll say, "He has risen," and then they'll say, "He has risen."
Cuando ella diga, "He's risen," nosotros vamos a decir, "Él ha resucitado," en nuestra lengua en español.
Beautiful. Nice. Can we give it up for Jasmine? Thank you. Thank you. Okay, ready? On the count of three. One, see if we can do it. One, two, three. "He's risen."
He's risen.
Let's do it again. That sounded so cool, right? Okay, ready? "He is risen." Woo! You think, guys, I think heaven's going to sound like that. Maybe a little less English in heaven, a little bit more other languages, but let's give yourselves a hand. All right, it is Easter Sunday. For many of us, this is our favorite day of the church calendar. Super, super fun. I was journaling this morning, and I was like, I'm both anxious and excited, which is pretty much my normal existence anyway. It's just heightened today. But I want to take a silent poll about you this morning. If I were to ask you the question, what are you thinking right in this moment? Silent poll. Whew, don't have to give an answer. What are you thinking? I think the answers would be fascinating. I think some of you would be thinking, "Hallelujah." Some of you will be basking in the worship of our risen Savior this morning. Some of you, no shame, might be thinking about the breakfast burritos after the service. It's great. Or some of you might be thinking what you're going to eat or make for Easter dinner later today. Some of you might be thinking, "I really hope the preacher doesn't go on too long." You can say amen to that. That's fair. That's fair. Or maybe you're thinking, "I really hope so-and-so is happy that I showed up." Right? Didn't really want to come, but I came for them. And regardless of what you're thinking, or in the middle of all that you're thinking, I'm really glad you're here. Really, really glad you're here. And I believe, to my bones, that God in heaven is glad that you're here too. Even if what you think about mostly is breakfast burritos, I think he's glad that you're here. This question, what are you thinking, is an interesting one. I remember when I was in high school, I remember my dad asking me this question, "What are you thinking?" When I called him from the payphone, because this was back in the days of payphones, at the mall parking lot, because I had locked my keys into my car, and the car was still running. And my dad is like, "What are you thinking? What were you thinking?" Or when my husband and I were dating, and we would spend long afternoons together, and maybe there was like a lull in our conversation, and I'd be like, "So what are you thinking?" Knowing that the only correct answer would be you, Jill, right? Like, it's the only correct answer, but like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? It's an important question. Even more, the question, what are you thinking when you think about God? What comes to mind when you think about God is an important one. But perhaps the best question out of all of them is, when God thinks about you, what is he thinking? Is it getting uncomfortable in here, or is it starting to feel really good? When God thinks about you, what is he thinking? I think that question is the question we try to keep ourselves busy and distracted from answering. Depending on where we're at with God, whether we believe in him or not, whether we've had a really rough night, made some really poor choices, or whether we've been asking him in prayer for him to provide something and he hasn't, we have a lot of images of what God might be thinking about us. And some of them may be true. Because if God thinks of us the way that we think of ourselves, then maybe we really don't want to know the answer. Maybe we really don't want to know the answer of what God thinks about when he thinks about us. And yet it's super, super important. The most important question you can answer. So this Easter morning, as we're celebrating the risen Savior, we're going to carve out a little space to engage for just a few minutes this question together. And we're going to look at a passage that'll open a window just a little bit into how God thinks. So we're going to turn, you can turn in your handout or in your Bible or on the screen, and I forgot my reading glasses. And I'm going to read a few verses, make a few comments, and keep going. We're going to be in the book of Philippians, which is way in the New Testament in the Bible. It's a letter that Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes to the church in Philippi, which is ancient Greece. And he writes this letter about 30 years after Jesus was crucified, then rose from the dead, then ascended into heaven. And Paul is writing to the people, the church in Philippi, about how to live and how to think. And this is what he says. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance, in essence, as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Let's pause there. He's talking to the church, and he's telling them how to live and to think, and he says, in your relationships with each other, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Same mindset. The word here is same attitude, same understanding, same way of thinking. Think like Jesus. You're like, okay, how do I do that? Jesus, we believe, as those who follow Orthodox theology throughout the centuries, we believe that Jesus was fully God, meaning that he created all things. He was all powerful. He could speak something into existence. He could speak something and it would die. He was all powerful. He was all knowing, and he's the source of love. So all love comes from him. And because he's all powerful and all knowing, he had a front row seat. He was keenly aware of this created world that he put into existence and how broken it was. How much pain and suffering and evil there was. That was not the world he created, but he gave humans the ability to choose. I don't know about you, but my ability, my choosing, my choices sometimes, not so great. And you multiply that by centuries and millennia. We live in a broken, fallen world. And he had a front row seat to all of it. And this knowledge, coupled with his tremendous love for you and for me and the whole world, compelled him to do something about it. He, God of the universe, could have stayed distant, could have zapped people with his finger, kind of like Zeus, right? Could have just been pew, pew. He could have done that. And he would have been completely justified in doing so. But he did something about it. What was he thinking? What was Jesus thinking? I believe he was thinking about his love for you and his love for me. This is not a love that shows up in Valentine's Day cards and Valentine's Day roses and chocolates. It's a deeper, deeper, deeper love. It's the kind of love that Scripture says that compelled him to make himself nothing. Meaning, here's God. In all the fullness of God, he poured himself out. He poured out his love on the world. And he did that by becoming human. He emptied himself. He showed the full extent of his love for you and for me. The all-powerful God demonstrated his power by showing how much he loves you and me. He became human, fully human. So he was fully human and fully God. It's called the kenosis, the incarnation. Don't understand it. Yet I'm so thankful for it. But he didn't become just any human. If I were God, and I'm not, if I were to become human, something that I had created, I would choose somebody who was powerful, somebody who was beautiful, somebody who was wise, somebody who had some money. All-powerful God didn't choose any of that. He chose to become a servant. Thank you. And then when you say it in a Southern accent, it's even better. Amen. I'm from the South, which is why I say that. He became a servant. It's translated, in the Greek, it's doulos. It could be translated servant or slave. Why would God, the God of the universe, who created everything, who's all-powerful, all-knowing, has every resource emanating from him, why would he choose to pour himself out to the extent that he would be a servant? A lowly position that few, if any, would ever choose if they had a choice. Yet he willingly chose it. The one who is equal with God revealed the truth about God. He revealed what God was thinking. That he is love. That he's the source and full expression of love. And his love expresses itself in sacrifice. Expresses himself in sacrifice. And not just any sacrifice. It was a cruel, humiliating death on the cross for those he loves, which, spoiler alert, is you and me and everyone in the world. The cross was a scandalous death. Now, no one in Philippi in AD 60, again, which was around the time that Paul wrote this letter, nobody in Philippi in AD 60 would use the cross as a symbol for faith. You and I wear it as a pendant around our neck. We display it in churches. It was scandalous. Only the really bad people were familiar or like hung on the cross, and nobody wanted to be associated with it. And yet the God of the universe, who loves you so much, chose that scandalous torture device to demonstrate his love for you. Henry Nouwen, one of my faves, says the truly good news is that God is not a distant God, a God to be feared and avoided, a God of revenge, but a God who is moved by our pains and participates in the fullness of the human struggle. My friends, God knows what life is like. God knows what your life is like. And he's not sitting up there just like, really? No. He's saying, oh, I wish you knew. I wish you could get a little closer and experience the love that I have for you. The writer April Yamasaki, I read her article in Christianity Today, and she observed that if Jesus' suffering and death were the whole story of Jesus, he might be a man to be pitied more than anything else. A man who had his 15 minutes of fame, but who otherwise lived in relative obscurity, a victim of the political establishment of his time, too weak and too ignorant to speak up and fight the system. A lonely and pathetic figure instead of an inspiration. But the humility of Jesus makes up just one side of the story and just one part of this song, this creed that Paul writes here in Philippians. Because the first half, it spotlights or it focuses on Jesus' humility. The second half is all about his glory. Let's keep reading. Philippians 2, verse 9. Therefore, because of what we just read earlier in verses 5 through 8, therefore God exalted Jesus, exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, meaning those who have already died and gone. And every tongue, every language, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. These are the words of the Lord. Does this get you excited? Because of God's love for you, because of what Jesus did on the cross, out of his love for you, God the Father is honoring him. He is held in higher esteem. He is celebrated, worshiped more than any other being. In heaven and on earth. And Jesus' name, I love that word, that phrase, at the name of Jesus. That his name is greater than any other name. That throughout human history, so many people have encountered this name. They know about the name of Jesus. His name will one day be the greatest name on earth. Everyone on earth, past, present, and future, they will worship him, is what Philippians says, what the Bible says. He is sovereign over all. When he died on the cross and rose again, he demonstrated that he is sovereign over sin. Sin doesn't have the final word. He shows that he's sovereign over death. Death doesn't have the final word. Your mistakes, your pains, your wounds, the things that have happened to you, the things that have been done to you, those don't have the final word. He does. And he is a God of love. Jesus was not only just a good man or a man of humble circumstances who died a lowly death. He was not only a good teacher a long time ago. He was and he is Jesus Christ, the Lord of everyone and everything. The glory of God that he had poured out to become human still belongs to him and is revealed once more. And Easter Sunday, the reason why we're here today is because when Jesus rose from the dead, it proved him to be God. You and I are faced with the choice today and every day to believe whether or not he is God, whether or not he is who he says he is. Rising from the dead is something only God can do. Have you tried it? Unsuccessfully, or you wouldn't be here. So you have tried it. And Easter Sunday, Jesus' death and resurrection, isn't something that we just talk about and celebrate on Easter Sunday, which is awesome. It changes how we live. It changes everything. Eugene Peterson said, "The fatal thing is to reduce faith to an explanation. It is not an explanation. It is a passion. It's what we base our life on. More than an explanation of God's heart, Jesus' death and resurrection, we see his passion. We see his love, and he invites you into this love, into this passion that he has for you to experience, not just know about, but to experience his love for you. So what was Jesus thinking? What was his attitude? What was his mindset? He was thinking about you. And he was thinking about me. His love for you was not only powerful enough to compel him to die an awful death on the cross, it's power enough to continue to draw you into relationship with him. If you have walked away from God, or you haven't, if you're like, I don't really
care about God. His love is powerful enough. If you say, Lord, help. This isn't working for me. Help me. His love is powerful enough to reach you and to draw you to himself. His love can step into the most difficult and messy of relationships and circumstances. Hallelujah. And he can bring his healing to it. He understands what it's like to be human, what it's like to suffer, what it's like to see others suffer. He knows firsthand what it's like to be the target of ridicule, of oppression, of rejection. He knows what it feels like to be abandoned and rejected. But his love for you, which includes the promise that there will one day be no more sadness or pain or heartache, was on his mind. I think my absolute favorite passage in Scripture, and there's a lot of fun ones, is in Hebrews 12, where it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. This is what's powerful. For the joy set before him, he endured the torture of the cross. You guys, what kind of joy is in store if it compels him to the cross that he can endure? And he's now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Theologian A.W. Tozer said the most important thing about a person is what comes to mind, what comes to their mind when they think about God. And that's my question for you. What are you thinking? And my question is, what did you think about God 10 years ago? That's not my question. What did you think about God a year ago? That's not my question. What are you thinking about God right now? What comes to mind? Whether you follow Jesus your whole life, and he's as familiar as the furniture in your living room, whether you're disillusioned with him, with the church, with life, whether you're curious about this whole Jesus thing, whether you're angry, whatever you're thinking, I invite you, I'm going to give you just a moment to sit and a little bit of reflection, to sit and invite God into that space. He knows what you're thinking, and he still loves you. Do you know what you're thinking about God? Be honest before him. So I'm going to give you just a moment. What are you thinking about God? And how is he inviting you to maybe open up a little bit more to receive his love for you this morning? If you could play a little music, Alex, I'll give you a couple moments and then I will pray for us. Lord, I thank you that you hear our prayers, whether we acknowledge them as prayers or arguments or pleas, you hear them. Lord, I pray that you would hear the prayers of each person in this room. I pray for those who have been deeply wounded, that somehow the power of your love would seep through those wounded places and touch their hearts. And that you would open their eyes just a little bit to see your immense love for them. For those in this room who are weary of just the challenges of following you, Lord, I pray that in this moment they would feel held by your love, held by your mercy and grace. For those who may be curious and may be talking to you for the first time, Lord, I pray that you would touch their hearts, that they would experience you, experience that they are seen and loved by you. And Lord, I pray for all of us in this room that we would come to you, that even now we could cry out to you and say that at the name of Jesus, all tongues, all languages, all people will worship you, and we are right in the mix of it today. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. We can have the kiddos come on in. They can come on in. We're gonna do a Christian sacrament. We're gonna participate in a sacrament this morning where our kids, not our kids, the kids are coming in to experience it, but we have seven different people who are getting baptized. And if you're like, is this one of those cultic rituals that Christian people do? Like, what's going on with baptism? Let me explain it to you while these adorable kids are coming in with their bunny ears and cute dresses. I love it. And while they're coming in, I invite the people who are getting baptized to come up to the front, either to the couch or to the front row. Hey, Scotty, would you mind taking my stuff off the chairs? That way more people could sit there. Okay, if you're getting baptized, come to the front row or the couches. Thank you, Scott. All right. Do we have everybody? 3, 6. I think there's 7, right? Is there one more? Oh, Layla. Where's Layla? Oh, there she is. Why don't you come up here and sit up here, sweetheart? Yeah. Here's that beautiful girl. All right, let me explain to you what's going to be happening. Because if you're not familiar with it, you're like, this, you could feel like this is really weird. Is this part, again, this cultic ritual that the church does? I want to explain it to you. Jesus, when he was here on earth, he said, repent and be baptized. What did he mean by that? First thing, he said, repent, which is to turn away from what you think is the right way to live, where you're in the driver's seat and you're calling all the shots. Turn away from the sin that so easily enslaves us, scripture says, and turn towards the God who loves you, who knows what you need, who knows how to help you live and heal and grow and become who he created you to be. That's the first thing, repent. And then he says, and be baptized. And that's what this really beautiful hot tub is for. You guys, we've moved up. It's not a horse trough anymore. We're in a hot tub, right? But they didn't have hot tubs back then, 2,000 years ago. They would get baptized in a creek or a lake or something like that. But this beautiful picture of baptism that God calls us to do, it's a command that he calls all of us who are followers of him, who surrender our lives to him and believe him. He calls us to be baptized. So if you haven't been baptized, we'll do it again. My goal, my hope, my prayer is to do baptisms multiple times throughout the year, not just on Easter Sunday. But when he says be baptized, he calls us to do something that he is very active in. And you're going to see people, they're going to come up, our baptizees are going to come up and share their testimony. They're making a declaration of why they have decided to follow Jesus. That's part of baptism. Declaring to the world that he is God and you are not, and you have decided to follow him. The second piece, you're going to see them get in the water. And I'm going to dunk them. I'm not going to slam them. But I know it's disappointing. They're going to sit in the water. And you guys, this is crazy cool. Crazy cool. They sit in the water. And as they hold their nose and I lay them back, I say, buried with him in his death. They're all the way under the water. This is a picture. It's a symbol. It's a sign that your sins, when you surrender them to the Lord, they're buried with him, meaning they're dead. They no longer have control over you. That's not who Jesus sees you as. Scripture says that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. And so when we are baptized, it's this picture that our sins no longer claim us. And then when you come out of the water, I'll say, raised to walk in newness of life, that you're a new creation. In God's eyes, when God sees you, he sees somebody clean and whole. He sees his child. So that's what these folks have decided to do, to get baptized. So we have 7 people, and I'm going to have you come up one at a time. We have all ages, which is great. So who would like to go first? We'll have them come to this microphone, Dave. All right. Well, we can't force people. You're so cute. I know.
Hello. I'm Bev, and Jill started with, "What are you thinking?" And I'm going, "What was I thinking?" Doing, coming up here. But I know I'm thinking what God is thinking about me. And so I just kind of like to introduce myself. I've been a member here for many, many years. And my husband, Paul, does a lot of announcements. So I've been here for many years. I want to read some of this because I don't want to miss it. So why am I standing here? I will tell you the why in a minute, and I'll just tell you a little bit about me. I grew up in a large family, 5 siblings in Minneapolis. Our home was filled with Bible stories, Bibles, prayer time. My grandmother was from Sweden, and she lived with us. And we'd gather in a room, and we'd pray. And I pretty much grew up in a Christian home. And I was baptized with my siblings as a child. In high school, I felt a little distance from God, even though I grew up in a home that read Bibles and believed in the Lord. But God knew my heart, and I feel like I know that he saved me in putting me in important relationships. He was leading me to a wonderful church where there was a great college and career group, and that was there I found friends who helped me back to the Lord. And that is where I committed my life to the Lord. So I knew he brought me to people I needed to be with. I'm so grateful for him that he touched me through them. And he heard me and he found me. Now, why am I here? After so many years, and I was baptized as a child. And that's okay. I think that's, some of you have been baptized as children. But for me, I really felt a calling, especially the last few Easters. I just felt a tug and a pull to be up here, and an urge and a small voice. And I prayed a lot about it, and I know it was God telling me I should be up here and talk about the Lord in my life. And so I came to the realization I should be here, and it wasn't a duty. It wasn't a thing to put on a checklist, but it was just something I think the Lord wanted me to do. So I think I knew what he was thinking. And so I want to proclaim that I am loved and saved by Jesus. I've been reading Psalms, and Psalm 19 has a meaningful, lately, I've just been reading it and it stuck out to me, and I'll read a couple verses. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. So even the heavens and earth can testify about the glory of God, and I can too.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. So good. Here, I'll come over here. This is my favorite part of Easter Sunday worship. Love it, love it. Who else would like to come up? I'm not going to look at anybody. I'll just look in this general direction. All right. All right. Come up, say your name. You're great. You're great.
All right. You got my paper?
Oh, I do. I do. So sorry. His paper's in my purse. He gave me his testimony on Good Friday, and I kept it. Here you go.
Thank you. Hello, Celebration. My name is Aaron.
Hold it up close to you.
Hello. Anyway, this is my story. I attended Sunday school when I was a child, but I never really understood the lessons I was being taught. You know, I engaged with the church as best as I could, but you know, when they asked me if I'd allow Jesus into my heart, I wanted to, but never really felt anything or really understood. My parents got divorced when I was really young, and I was bullied in school, and I was very angry growing up. And I was sent to a blind school. In blind school, I started smoking and drinking and got even more angry. And it was not a good time. I finally ended up getting sober through Alcoholics Anonymous, where I decided to start following God. I did the 12 steps, and ask God to be with me, and he helped me to forgive the people who hurt me in my life. I was robbed at gunpoint when I was 20, and God helped me to forgive the person who robbed me. He helped me conquer my anger as well as my alcoholism. He helped me to quit smoking, and I was able to reverse my type 2 diabetes. So it's important for me to help other people. I've been strengthening my relationship with God and attending a celebration where I've been learning about Jesus and his teachings. Both Father and Son are important to me, and extremely important to me. And why baptism now? It's I was in service one day when Jill was talking about how Jesus was baptized, and you know, he was without sin, and you know, I want to be like Jesus. It's been a few years and things have kind of come up, but you only do it on Easter. So I finally feel ready to be baptized, and I just want God to, I want to please God. That's pretty much it.
Thank you. Good job. Okay. You want to go sit back down? You can go sit right over there. All right. Come on up. The next one. Gotta be quick. There you go.
Hello, my name is Yaxiri. Hello. Throughout my life, I hadn't had a deep connection with God. I believed but didn't find that deep desire in my heart that I have now. My journey of finding the Lord is always something I will be grateful for, despite how hard it may have been. I can say that I truly found the Lord when I was living in El Paso, Texas, miles away from my mother and sister. I had felt so low and desperate for hope, and that is when I leaned on God for hope. Through prayer and faith, he not only helped me, but my family tremendously. He saved me, and I also gained the two people who have resembled a love of his, a love that is kind and patient, two people who I get the honor of calling my grandparents, Jade and Don Buey, who have helped.
Yeah, so good.
Who have helped me and my family through all of our hardships and never left me.
Yeah, it's okay. It's beautiful.
Through them, I was inspired to grow a connection with the Lord. They helped us and opened the doors to their home.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
They also introduced me to Celebration Church, a beautiful community who've also helped me and my family throughout the years. Me being baptized not only symbolizes me making my love for God public, but putting a new purpose on my faith.
Thank you. So beautiful. Oh, so beautiful. All right. Come on up. Would you like for me to stand with you? No? Okay. I'll sit down.
Hello, Timothy.
Hi, Timothy.
I have always struggled with how God made me for a while now. I had a hard time focusing in school and with my homework. I also was constantly fighting with my brother, Benjamin. I've been waiting to be baptized for a while now, but I've been afraid of speaking in front of a large audience. I'm also feared of people judging me. God created me, and sometimes I feel like it's a mixed bag of believing in him and not believing in him. I don't believe when I don't believe he made me good. The reason I decided to get baptized this year is to finally face my fears and share that I believe in him. I'm choosing to believe that he created me good. I believe that he's the true God. Jesus died on the cross to save us. I hope in the future he'll help me through tough times. I also hope he'll change the bad, will change the bad thoughts about myself. I also know he will settle my worries. All these reasons are why I decided to follow God and get baptized.
Beautiful. So good.
I'm so happy to be getting baptized today to make the commitment of following God for life. What mostly impacted my decision was Idra Haji, the Christian summer camp. My favorite part of each day was missions. This was when a missionary would come in and preach to us. She told amazing stories of miracles God provided through her, even the simplest thing like praying for someone. She was very inspiring. One day, my cabin mate McKenna lost her favorite thing, a wooden cross from her parents. She couldn't find it anywhere, and she was torn without it. That night, I was still thinking about it, so I prayed for her. The following morning, she found it. Also, there was one boy at camp who truly loved God with all his heart. I could just see the Holy Spirit in him. Even though he got made fun of, he still volunteered to pray every day. When I was waiting with the girls for my teepee to get night medicine, he ran into the nurse's office extremely hurt. I don't exactly know why, but he was in a lot of pain. I was encouraged by him, so I also prayed for him. At the next activity, he was playing again with nothing holding him back. On the last day of chapel at night, kids were given the opportunity to throw a stick into the fire and say how they felt Jesus the past week. The cool thing about this is that they were given the choice, just like God gives us the choice of choosing him. I'm not being forced to do this. I'm choosing God. In one of my favorite songs, Build a Boat, there's a lyric that really stands out to me. It says, when the flood and the water start to rise, I'll ride the storm because I've got you by my side. God doesn't let us fall or get hurt in the storm. He lifts us up so we can ride the storm. That's why I'm here today. I want God by my side forever so I can ride the storm. Thank you.
So good. I think I'll sit back there again. Two more.
Hi, my name is Lila, and I am here to share how I became to know Jesus as my Savior. It started when I attended youth group at my church. I listened to stories of how he loves everyone, and that made me motivated to get baptized. What getting baptized means to me is apologizing to Jesus for your sins and asking him to forgive them.
Beautiful. All right. Do you want to stand on the stage, sweetheart? Let me stand up here. There we go. Here's the microphone.
I would like to get baptized because I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for all of us so that we could go to heaven. He is our personal savior. I have learned this at Sunday school from my teachers, you, and from our parents. Hi, guys. I want to get baptized to show that he is my personal savior.
Amen. Beautiful. All right. So now we're going to make our way over. So if you guys bring your towels, let's carve a little pathway through here. All right. So let me explain to you what's going to happen. Wes is going to do that. Let me tell you why it's so important that they're getting baptized here. God says repent and be baptized, which means you could probably do it anywhere, right? And occasionally we baptize folks who are from countries where there's a lot of spiritual persecution, persecution for Christians. So we baptize them in a more private setting. God calls us to stand before the world and tell the world that we're following him. And there's something about being in this community. For each of you guys, this is a beginning. This isn't a finish line. You're just beginning. And you need the help of all this community as you, yes. Do you see Hazel waving at you? You need the help of all this community to grow in your faith. You can't do it alone. We need each other, right? Just like you guys were saying that some of you have been taught by some of the teachers in here. If you've been a Sunday school teacher and have taught any of these folks or been in a small group with any of these folks, would you stand where you are? Just stand. Right? It takes a village, right? It takes a village that we are the people of God together. So we need one another, all right? So, all right, who would like to go first? All right. Let's come over here. I'm not surprised. All right. I'm a little nervous about falling in. All right, why don't you come a little bit closer to me? Will you go underwater if you sit all the way down?
Okay, why don't you sit on your knees, sweetheart? Okay, so Hazel, based on your testimony of faith that you just gave, I now baptize you in the name of the Father. You want to hold your hands? Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Well done, sweetheart. Oh, there you go. All right, who next? You want to go next? Oh, wonderful. Miriam, you're getting baptized. Super cool. Well, Miriam, based on your testimony of faith that you gave just a moment ago, I now baptize you. You can hold your nose. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Do you want to go next? Okay, we'll just hop right in. Who has this towel? Oh, you're ready, Christy? All right, Timothy, I got to tell you that our Lord loves you to pieces. He made you good. And when he looks at you, he loves you. So, Timothy, based on your testimony of faith over there, I now baptize you. You want to hold your nose? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Next. All right. Yeah, it feels pretty good. It feels pretty nice and warm. It feels like a hot tub. Why don't you scoot up just a tad? And then in, out in the middle, yeah. Bev, are you floating? Yep. Okay. Bev, I think our Lord is delighted at your obedience. I think our Lord is delighted that you said yes many years ago and that you're saying yes today. So, Bev, based on your testimony of faith, I baptize you. Do you want to hold your nose? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Beautiful. You did it. There you go. Mm-hmm. All right, who's next? Layla? All right. Here we go. Do you know when she was talking about the youth group, she was talking about the youth group here at Celebration? How many of you have worked with our youth group here? Would you stand? Stand where you are. How beautiful. Layla. These are the people who love you. You are deeply loved. All right, Layla, based on your testimony of faith that you shared just over there, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Woo-hoo. You did it. All right, who's next? Is it you, Aaron? All right. Love this. All right. Awesome. Okay. I'm going to have you turn around this way. Yeah, there you go. A little bit more. Awesome. All right. Got a good view. Aaron, I'm so glad you've decided to follow Jesus. Based on your testimony of faith over there, I now baptize you. Why don't you hold your nose? If you want to hold your, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in his death, raised to walk in newness of life. There we go. This is the splash zone up here. This is a good argument for not replacing the carpet, am I right? All right. Wonderful. Xavier, let's come over to this side. Beautiful stuff. Or Donna Jane, I'm like, you guys better be up here getting it. Okay. Awesome. Why don't you sit down?
Like Siri, it sure does seem like the Lord has been pursuing you your entire life, and he's never left you. I'm so glad you've decided to follow him. Based on your testimony of faith that you gave over there, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Woohoo! Right, so you guys can stay here for a few more minutes, and we're gonna wrap up and come over here. What? Huh? We're gonna. Did it? I'm not leaving anybody out. Wouldn't that be horrible if somebody was already? It sounds like something I would do. All right. In just a moment, we're gonna pray. Maybe we could sing the doxology together here in just a moment, Wes. Again, as I mentioned this to you guys earlier who just got baptized, this is just the beginning. Getting up and sharing your story, for those of us in this room, it's not their finish line. It's a continuing, that God is going to continue to work and to draw them to himself and transform them by his love. This is not a finish line, and we're so glad that you're part of this community. So, happy Easter. Wes is going to give us a couple of little announcements. And then let's close with the doxology. I do.
Sweet. Because I want to make sure I don't miss anything. First, we have a breakfast burrito brunch right after church here. A couple of things just to keep in mind. You're going to want to exit this side. The line's going to start over here and move that direction. That's the biggest thing. And then just enjoy the time. Second, hey, if you're looking for a way to create some community and get involved and learn some more about following Jesus, I and my wife, Erin, are leading a book study starting this Wednesday. It's on the book, How to Hear God. And it's going to be Wednesday nights on Zoom. And then we're going to finish after 6 weeks with a big hike together. Spend some time in creation, meeting with our Creator. So if you're interested in that, you can sign up on the church app or you can come talk to me. And would love to get you signed up. And then last thing is, gentlemen, men's breakfast is next Sunday or Saturday, April 11th. If you want to connect in community, eat some really good food, and spend some time with the Lord in that community, you're invited. It's at 8:30 in this room next Saturday. Would you stand? Oh, Jill has one more thing.
You guys, this is what it's like being in my head. I think what I'd like to do is pray for the people who just got baptized, and then we can close with the doxology. Is that cool? I'll pray.
But we got to pray for the food, too, Joe.
And I'll pray for the food. I'll do both.
Give thanks.
All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you have called each person around this hot tub to you. Lord, thank you that some have followed you their entire life, and this act of obedience and getting baptized today is their way of saying yes to you. Thank you for the little ones and the older ones and how they are saying yes to you. Lord, we believe that you called them. And you say in your word that those who call you will equip for the work that you have for them. So Lord, we thank you for that promise, that you will never leave them nor forsake them. And so, Lord, we offer up these bodies, these hearts, these souls, these minds to you. Father, I pray that you would help us be the church that you want us to be, to continue to encourage them in their walk with you. So we thank you. Thank you for your great, great love. And thank you that you sometimes show your love through breakfast burritos. So, Lord, we offer up this food. Lord, we thank you for the hands that prepared it. And we thank you that we get to feast in your presence together today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We good? Sweet. These guys are awesome. They didn't know that we were going to need this song. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.